The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I think these are the best words that the world has ever heard, that the Lord Jesus has risen out of the grave. He's conquered death. Because death, my friends, is something we're all going to have to face someday. And it can be distressing, troublesome, and scary to us. That's why the Lord says to you this morning, today, through me, since you're going to have to face death someday, personally, why not face it today? Why not face it right now in this sermon? Why not face it with me? And so today what I'd like to ask as my question for the sermon is, what is so scary about death? What is so scary about death? And let's take a look at what people say about death, and also how God answers death. So let's start out first off with people. What do people say about it? What do people say about death? Well, I was looking at an article about death, which said, why is death so scary? People gave a number of reasons. For one, it involves a change, a move. You know, every time you have a change or to another location, it's scary or it's stressful. This is a move like we've never made before, and you're going to make it one day. That can be stressful. People have never faced death before. Have you ever died? Anybody here? If so, see me after the service. I have a few counseling hours, okay? But you've never done this before. You're going to, though, one day, if the Lord tarries, and he could come in your lifetime and you not die and just go to be with him without dying, but you very well are probably going to die. Another reason is that people say we don't know what's on the other side. It's the great unknown. We also don't like the idea of our bodies rotting and dissolving. We don't like when even we're getting older, or if we go and get blood drawn. How much more when we think of what will really happen to us, our bodies. People don't like the idea of the things of this life being lost, not being able to retain them. The fear especially of losing relationships with the ones you love. This article I read said the really scary thing about death is because you're not going to see your loved ones anymore. Another one said he feared being totally abandoned and all alone or ceasing to exist. Yes, the great unknown. Will we go to heaven? Will God accept us? Will we cease to exist? Will we pay for our sins? Will we be judged? Will we be saved? Go to heaven or hell? Death is very scary, a big thing, scary to people. So with that in mind, I have some very grave news for you today to start out. That grave news is that I've done some pretty extensive research this week, looking all over, studying this, and statistics are, you will die. Okay? Statistics are, one day you are really going to have to face death. And I mean, really see it face and head on. If the Lord tarries and he doesn't come in our lifetime. So since we're going to have to face death, I also want to talk about how people tend to deal with it. How do people tend to face death? What do they do in life? I think the number one thing is that people try to ignore it, deny it, and push it out of their minds so that they don't even think about it. Been to a party lately, and someone come up to you and say, hey, Bob, how you doing? What do you think about death? Nobody talks about it, because if you were to ask that, they'd look at you askance out of the corner of their eye and say, you're weird. You're a goth. I'm out of here, man. This guy's nuts. He's talking about death. See, in our society, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to see it. Think about how quickly, if someone dies, they're ushered out of sight, so you don't even see it. If there's an accident on the road, it's quickly cleaned up, and nobody knows. We don't really see death a whole lot, because we try to ignore it and deny it and push it out of our minds so that we don't even think about it. We think, all right, death will happen to other people, but never to me. Is that kind of false idea in your mind today? That's one approach people have. Another one people have is they try to rush at death with adrenaline. These are the daredevils, the skydivers, the cave divers, people who stalk bears and swim with sharks and fly F-16s and race motorcycles at 100 miles an hour down the Courtney. You know, this is kind of summed up in a poem by Dylan Thomas, a Welsh poet. Do not joke, go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. That's how some people face it. I'm going to face death head on, take it on. But you know what? For all their bravado, death is not doesn't care. It takes them just like it takes anybody else. Still other people try comedy. I remember watching Steve Martin, the great comedian, one time, and he was saying, afraid of death? No, it's not so bad at all. You ever hear anyone coming back complaining? But even in that joke, I could hear a tremulous fear inspiring it behind him. You know what? For all comedy, comedy is not going to conquer death. And it takes comedians just like it takes everybody else. And still others imagine happy visions of what is beyond. The Hindus imagine they'll come back as some other creature. The Native American Indians of old imagined a happy hunting ground. The Muslims picture 72 virgins, at least the men do. And Christians, certainly heaven, which is the truth. But others recoil at death with horror and avoid it at all costs. And I think that's really, to me, the biggest thing I see out there in the world, is that when it comes to death, people just try to say, man, I'm not thinking about it. I'm avoiding it. I push it out of my mind. It's not going to happen to me. But that reminds me of a legend that I heard once of a servant to a rich man. This is supposedly in ancient Baghdad. It's a legend. And he goes down to the marketplace, and he's buying the food for the household for the day. And he turns, and he sees a man in a black cloak face him, and he realizes it's death itself. And death gives a horrible look on his face, and the man runs away, and he goes back to his master, and he says, I saw death at the marketplace today, and he's looking for me. He made a very scary face, and he pointed a finger at me. And so give me quickly now your best horse, and I'll gallop away to Samaria and escape death, because he's gunning for me. Well, the rich man gave him the horse. The guy raced off to Samaria. Later on in the day, though, he goes down to the marketplace himself, the rich man does, and he sees the specter of death, the grim reaper, still standing there. And he says, hey, death, I saw that you scared my servant today. I was just wondering why you did that. Why did you give such a gruesome, horrible look to him today? Well, death says, I didn't mean to scare him. I didn't mean to give him a terrible look. It's just I was surprised to see him here because I have a meeting with him tonight in Samaria. Right? My point is, death is going to come to you one way or another. No matter what way you try to deal with it, you're going to die one day. And what I want you to do right now is face that reality, because God says to you, if you're going to face death someday, why not face it today? Why not face it right here now in the sermon? Why not face it with me, says our Lord. So now, what does God say to us about death? Well, the first thing he says to us is it's good that you are facing death today. Because we read in James, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas you do not know about tomorrow. For what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. In other words, what's the point here, friends? You don't know the day or the hour, do you? I mean, you could be young. Hopefully you have a long life, but who knows? Maybe not. You could be old. Maybe you'll still have a long life. Who knows? None of us knows the day or the hour, so it's best to prepare in this sermon before you leave here for who knows what's out there, God says. Another reason we ought to face it today, God says in Ecclesiastes, every matter has its time and its way. although man's trouble lies heavy upon him, for he doesn't know what is to be. For who can tell him how it will be? Then he says, no man has power to retain the Spirit or authority over the day of death. Anybody here apart from Christ have authority over the day of death? To retain his Spirit when that day comes and that hour? You don't have authority, do you? You can't conquer the grave by yourself. You're powerless before it. So God says, it's a good thing that you deal with it right now. Let's face this together this morning. Second thing he says is, fear is a good place to begin when it comes to your spiritual journey concerning death. For let's consider the origin of death and its nature, okay? Where'd death come from? Genesis chapter 2 teaches us where death comes from. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you shall die. So death, we know the origin. Its origin is sin. Mankind, through rebelling against God, brought death into this world. And Paul says in Romans chapter 5, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death entered through sin. And so death spread to all men because all men sinned. Anybody in here never sinned? Good. You've all sinned. That means you've all, according to your flesh, you're subject to death. You can't avoid it. It is as if a rattlesnake has come up to you in the wilderness and bitten you. When you're bitten by a rattlesnake, do you continue to live for a while? Sure, right? But death is at work in you. That poison is already coursing through your veins. It gets worse and worse and worse until eventually you perish. And that's the way it is with sin. You've been bitten by the snake of sin, and that poison, if it's not remedied, is going to lead to not only death, but eternal death. And guess what? We can already see this at work in the world today, can't we? Death at work on account of sin is the end result of sin. Consider a marriage, okay? Let's say you have a marriage where sin is in that marriage, but it's not resolved and it's not forgiven. If it's not resolved and not forgiven, what's the end result of sin in that marriage? The death of that marriage, called divorce, right? You've seen that. How about in a lifestyle like where you're abusing drugs and alcohol? We saw a beautiful, gorgeous, athletic young woman 2 months ago, Whitney Houston, die of this, right? Because she was misusing her body, unfortunately, and it's very sad that this happened to her, but nevertheless, the end result of that was an untimely death for a 48-year-old, I think it was. Now, she died being gorgeous, beautiful, athletic, and all those things, but it's been 2 months since she died. Anybody want to dig up her grave today? She wouldn't be looking so gorgeous and beautiful today. So what I want you to do is understand death is ugly. Death is a result of the curse. Death is a result of sin, and you're going to face it today, and your body is going to be the same as hers, as we see from statistics. Frankly, everyone's died. All right? So, God says through James, the desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. And as we said a few moments ago, that's not the worst of it. Because death in your body is one thing. Death in your relationship with God is even worse. Because it leads ultimately to eternal death and not being able to know the God of life, or the God of love forever and ever and ever. For the scripture says of those who reject God, they shall suffer the punishment of eternal destruction and exclusion from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. So, death is ugly. It's a result of sin. It's a result of the curse. But God says to you, fear is a good place to begin in this journey. For unless you're utterly horrified by it, and that's my aim with you right now, to be utterly horrified, until you're utterly horrified, you are never going to seek an escape from it. And while you would deny it, ignore it, push it out of your mind, make jokes about it, you're never going to face it rightly with a common and natural fear. Because unless you see its grave gruesomeness, you're never going to see your need for a Savior. But now, I tell you, God wants to move you now from fear to fearlessness and from horror to a happy joy about death. For we read in the Bible of a man who has authority over it and who we also read of finding escape from it. Let me read you a story of a man who faced death. This is in Acts chapter 16. There's a Philippian jailer. And let's see what he found to be the escape. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's fetters were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said to them, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Oh, this is great. Here's a man who is afraid of death. He's fearing death. First of all, he's going to kill himself because the Romans would kill him. But that's not why he said, "What must I do to be saved?" to Paul and Silas. Because he was afraid there, "What must I do to be saved?" In other words, from God's wrath, from God's judgment, and from eternal death, was his question. And their answer to him was simple, clear, and perfect. "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. God has sent me to you today as his messenger to declare a word from him, and I tell to you, thus says the Lord, escape from death is Jesus Christ and faith in him." Why? Why is it that faith in Jesus and what he's done will give you escape from death? Because as we read in Ecclesiastes again, I'll read it again, "No man has power to retain his spirit or authority over the day of death. But God does. The Lord of life has the power over death. For Jesus said in John 10, 'For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This charge I received from my Father.'" I'll tell you, Jesus Christ has the power over death. He's conquered the grave. He was crucified and he was raised from the dead. He raised himself up, in fact. We read, he said this in Luke 18, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, that everything written of the Son of Man and by the prophets will be accomplished. For he'll be delivered to the Gentiles and mocked and shamefully spit upon. They'll scourge him and kill him, and on the third day he'll rise." What does that mean, "as it's written of him"? He's going to go up to Jerusalem and rise as it's written of him? Did God prophesy this in the days of the Old Testament? You better believe it. All over the Old Testament, God, and what he's going to do to give you life, was written on each page. For example, read in Isaiah 25. "And he will destroy on this mountain." On what mountain? On the hill outside Jerusalem. "The covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that's spread over all nations, he'll swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he'll take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." What is your confidence when you reach the day of death? It's this: "For the Lord has spoken." Right? It's not because you're like, "I feel, I think, I have an opinion that I can." It's because the Lord has promised you victory through Jesus Christ. "Thy dead shall live," he says in Isaiah 26. "Their bodies shall rise, O dwellers in the dust. Awake and sing for joy. For thy dew is a dew of light, and on the land of the shades thou wilt let it fall." On the land of the dead, God will sprinkle down his resurrection power and raise your bodies up on the last day. For it's been God's plan all along to save you. I'd like to share the story of a boy, two boys that went out with their father into the field. You've maybe heard this story. A bee came and stung the older brother. Bam! Hit him on the hand. And the boy, he goes down onto the ground, crying in pain. Well, the younger brother is now has the bee buzzing around his head. And he's greatly frightened because the bee, he's afraid, is going to sting him now. And the father couldn't calm down his younger son until he said, Son, you don't need to be afraid of this bee anymore. Because it's stung your brother, it's left its stinger in your brother, and it can only sting once. You don't have to be afraid of the bee anymore. And I'll tell you, friends, the sting of death is sin. Jesus Christ was stung by those nails on the cross. Death stung him. He took that stinger, and he took the sting out of death. He took the power out of death. And he now says to you, my younger son, God says, you don't have to be afraid of death anymore. It's still going to buzz around you. Okay. It's still going to seem frightening to you, but its power is gone. My son has taken that stinger, and it can only sting one time. And for all who believe in Jesus Christ, therefore, the sting of death is gone, and you have life. For Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death. Pretty good promise, wouldn't you say? Say amen to that. Amen. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, his body, yet shall he live, his soul. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. His body is going to be resurrected as well. Then he says, Do you believe this? Say amen.
Amen.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Have you passed from death to life through Jesus? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. For Peter says, God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, for it was not possible for him to be held by it. I love that. Death was not, it was not possible for Jesus to be held by it. It couldn't hold him. He was too strong. He rose from the dead. And guess what? Death can't hold you either. If Jesus is living inside of your hearts today through faith, through baptism, then death cannot hold you either because that resurrection power is at work within you. Your soul already has eternal life. Your body, he has promised, I'll raise it up on that last day and make it glorified and beautiful and glorious. And he says, I'm going to do it by the same power by which I subject and will subject all things to myself. God is not slack in power, friends. He has made the world. He's created the sea. He's conquered death. He's going to raise you. So you can have a happy joy and a victory today. For he says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Yes, the Lord of life. So I say, what is so scary about death to us anymore? I can see death coming down the street and I can say, hey, death, why are you looking so grave? I'm not afraid of the unknown. I know what's out there for me. It's not unknown anymore. I'm not afraid of losing my loved ones. Those in the Lord, I will see them on the other side, rejoicing. I'm not afraid of losing the things of this world, for I don't want the things of this world. And the things that I have here, namely the good deeds, are going before me for a reward. And I know also who it is who's waiting for me on the other side of the grave, namely my Lord himself with a happy smile on his face to receive me from death into life. Yes, I tell you, not only Jesus is with you today and tomorrow, he's not with you only to the day of your death, he's with you through death into his kingdom forever and ever. So afraid of death? By no means. Oh, the death, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing our response to our Lord. And verse 9, page 9, come, let us join.
Come, let us join our cheerful songs
with angels round the throne. 10,000,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one. Worthy the Lamb that died, they cry, to be exalted thus. Worthy the Lamb, our lips reply, for he was slain for us. Jesus is worthy to receive honor and power divine, and blessings more than we can give, be Lord forever thine.
You may be seated. At the 11 o'clock service, we're going to have the baptism of Ava Lynn Stanley. So during this service, we'll go right to the prayers.